Hallelujah! Christ is risen. That wasn't bad. You can do a bit better than that. It was the most exciting thing that's happened since the universe started. And if it didn't happen, we wouldn't be here today. But it did. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. So, Lord, open us up, God, for all you have for us today. Open our eyes, God, to see you reflected in every human face. Open our hearts, God, to know your love for us, vast as the ocean. Open our ears, God, to hear the whisper of your Spirit and the wisdom of your word. Open our hands, God. This is your ministry, your kingdom, your power, your glory. Open our lips, God, that our mouth may sing out your praise. So if you are able to stand as we open our mouths and sing out God's praise, all heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Would you like to sit down? And good morning and welcome to those of you who are here worshipping with us in person. Welcome to those who are worshipping with us online now or later. Just if there are people not sure what's happening this morning, today is our annual parochial church meeting. So this is the first half being worship as normal. Not sure about that, but worship. And then we will continue our worship as we move into the official and business bits. But let's remember that that too is our worship. One or two notices, as ever. We've got an Alpha course coming up. And we have a little video to explain a bit more about why not try Alpha starting on the 27th of April.
I'm quite excited that we are about to launch an Alpha course in a couple of weeks' time.
And what's an Alpha course? Give us a bit of an outline.
An Alpha course is a 12-week course which aims to look at some of the most important topics of the Christian faith.
Good. And who's it aimed at?
Anybody's welcome to come along. Vicars, members of the congregation, agnostics, atheists, anybody who's interested in exploring the Christian faith or has questions that they'd like to discuss with other people.
And what happens on an evening?
Well, we're going to kick off on Thursday the 27th of April at 7 p.m. and we start with some food. We're going to have a cold buffet and some cake and coffee. And then we will watch a video which looks at the topic and makes a few points. And then we'll have some group discussion time. We love people to ask questions. This is all about asking questions, and the more questions, the better. We don't promise to have all the answers. In fact, I can guarantee we won't have all the answers, but we are very happy to discuss them and to explore them together. You can just turn up, but we prefer you to let us know that you're coming. You can register online on the church website. You can contact the church office, let them know, or you can contact me directly and let us know. The main thing is the more people we know who are coming, the more chance we'll have of having enough cake go around.
Hi Russell, good to see you again. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Just wanted to ask you a few questions about Alpha. What was it that really first captured your attention for going on an Alpha course?
Well, first I was working at your house, funnily enough, doing some decorating, and yourself and your fine wife, Mariam, were talking about it and doing lots of cooking where you were taking somewhere, and I asked, where's all this nice food going? It's going to Alpha. When you told me about it, I thought, I could give that a go, mainly so that I could prove you all wrong. And then you started showing me things like evidence. Annoying.
And so if you could pick out a couple of things, what are the main things that you've taken from Alpha? What way has it impacted on your life?
Well, coming from a background of addiction and many other things, I've kind of always had an idea of a higher power or something out there greater than myself. So finding Alpha kind of helped me identify who God was, you know, in my eyes, in the Bible, and particularly when I had some real struggles, was struck with this obsession of using drugs again, and I literally got on my knees and I prayed for the Holy Spirit to remove my obsession, and it just happened. And I'd like to say it was like that, because it was, you know. And I'm still clean since then, thankfully, and that's the Holy Spirit for me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So if anybody was thinking, perhaps I could go on this Alpha course, but I'm not sure, what would you say to them?
I went on to challenge it, and I came out a Christian. So if you're going to go and have a look because you're not sure, go and give it a try, yeah. It's
brilliant.
So there is Alpha starting on the 27th of April. Many of you will know that Jen Alford is the head teacher at Malvern Wells Primary School, and that's a picture of her husband based up at Elim, up at Regent's College, and he will be having an evening on Thursday the 27th of April at Malvern Evangelical Church. which should be a really good time for, as it says, especially young people. And also slightly older people. But it'll be a good evening. So I commend Tim and his evening to you. And of course, if you want to connect with our church in any way, that's how you get hold of the weekly mailing, the weekly electronic mailing. You can find it on the website, St. Andrews and All Saints. / of course, connect with us, and then you'll be on the list for getting the weekly mailing. So, welcome to you all. We are glad that you are here, and we know that we come with all our faults, with all our failings, but we come to a loving God and a risen Saviour. So, we just quietly remember our failings and we confess and seek forgiveness, knowing that it is free to us, however costly it was to Jesus Christ. So like Mary at the empty tomb, we fail to grasp the wonder of your presence. Lord, have mercy. Like the disciples behind locked doors, we are sometimes afraid to be seen as your followers. Lord, have mercy. Like Thomas in the upper room, we are slow to believe. Lord, have mercy. And the good news, as Paul wrote to the Romans, is this: therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who are truly sorry, have mercy upon each one of us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And at this point, I've done my first bit. Over to Dave.
We're going to just sort of mix the meeting stuff with the worship stuff. And we're going to start by giving thanks and looking back over the last year. And there's so much to be thankful for and to celebrate. And we want to say thank you to you. And we want to say thank you to God for all that he's done. But first, I thought, actually, we need to have some wise words. And we need to have some wise words from our most distinguished and oldest member of our congregation, who I did go to visit last Sunday. Dear Frank, here are some words from Frank, if you haven't seen it already on YouTube.
So I'm delighted to have Frank here. Now, Frank, tell us how old you're going to be tomorrow.
Well, the Lord be willing, I shall be 106 tomorrow, which will suit me fine, because it's just, when anybody asks me, what am I going to do on my birthday, I say, well, it's another day in the gift of the Lord, for which I'm very grateful. And I said, I'm getting rushed at the sides, but the machine was still working, just a little bit fallen over. I said, but I'm delighted to hear from anybody from your friends at church. One or two people do ring me up from time to time, but I'm looking forward to meeting you all on the other side. Perhaps, I won't say sooner or later, but
you'll get there sooner. We'll hopefully get there later.
So God bless you all.
And it's Easter Sunday today, Frank, so what's an Easter Sunday message for the church?
Well, keep the faith.
Brilliant. And should we do a Christ is risen? He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, that's right.
Thanks, Frank. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
He's as bright as ever and still asking after you all and your families, and he is amazing. He was also on BBC Hereford and Worcester Radio on Monday morning. There's about a two-minute interview that he had, and he gave a good plug for church as well on that. He says he's a year off being on the Google oldest people in the country list. That starts at 107, but, you know, he's looking like he may well be getting there. He's amazing. And if anyone does want to just send him a card or ring him up, you know, he really is really interested in hearing from you all. So there's Frank. We look back on last year. Last year was a continued time of change. This was the gathering at Peter Meyer's induction, which is nearly a year ago now, down in Poole. And so All Saints as a church has been without Peter for over a year now. Peter's doing well. I messaged him last week. I've got a game of golf booked with him a week on Thursday down near his home, and I will send you all his greetings. But it has been a significant year of change. And I just want to acknowledge and give thanks for the leadership here, and particularly Jeff, who has stood in as a clergy in charge of All Saints and done a remarkable job just keeping everything organised. And you know, with Jeff, everything is going to be sorted efficiently and without any fuss. And thank you, Jeff. We are so grateful for all you've done, but also to all of the leadership, the wardens, and we'll say a bit more about that later, the leaders and preachers, and all of you who make things happen. You know, All Saints has run remarkably smoothly in the last year, and I think that is a great testament to all of you. So as well as being a year of change, it's also been a year of significant things worldwide, hasn't it? You know, just we want to acknowledge the Ukraine war, and that's really impacted us. We've had several Ukraine guests across our churches who've come and been part of us, and we've been supporting Terry and Hanka too, and significant times of praying for them. And that's also had the knock-on effect of the cost of living crisis as well, and all that that's entailed, which has brought real challenges over the last year. And part of supporting that has been the work of CAP, and I'm delighted that Denise is going to come up now. Yep, you're going to come up, Denise. Because actually CAP is both supporting the cost of living crisis, but also was an example of change in the last year too. So at the start of the year, Denise was promoted from CAP. What were you before?
Deck coach
to CAP Centre Manager. She took over from Chris. And you're just going to give us a little update, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Now, when Peter was saying about our shortfallings and everything, I think, oh, he's talking to me, because often I feel I have a few, let's say that. But praise God for his grace and his mercy and being willing to use me in this amazing project, because, you know, as you most of you know, that CAP's been established for about 27 years now through John Kirkby, who set up an amazing program that we've sort of signed up to and we've joined in with. And we're one of the over 300 centres across the country that serve our community. So we serve both Malvern and Ledbury, and it's only possible because of you, because of your generosity in finance, because of those that give of their time. I'm looking at Jean, and Jean isn't here, but and Ken, who are befrienders, and so many who come along to prayer, our monthly prayer meetings. Before I... Dave asked me to come and give a little talk last week, and I started thinking about it yesterday. So I do apologise for that. Part of that is just that there is so much to fit in. The day stuff of meeting clients, we I looked at the numbers. We have met with over sort of 80 to 100 clients in different forms, so whether going through the whole process or just meeting them and starting the conversation of how we can support them. But we are at the moment working with, there's 25 what we call active clients and 12 to 13 who we're having a lot of interaction with. So that's either doing a budget visit, fact find, doing that first meeting where we just find out what their immediate needs are, because it may be that they have a court hearing or bailiffs knocking at the door and we're trying to work out how we can help halt that so that we can then start the process. Because it's not, I loved hearing that testimony on the Alpha course, that he prayed and the Holy Spirit came, that chap, and his addiction was removed. I want more of that. I want to see more of that. But at the moment, we're part of the process and we're unpicking most of the time years of addiction, trauma, fear, anxiety. We're working alongside people in those places of it's like being in the trenches. It's messy, it's muddy, it's smelly, it's not because of them, but just because of life, you know. And often I'm going in there feeling as much like them in some ways. And actually, I just want to mention the verse in Ephesians 6, 10, when it talks about putting on the full armour of God. And before it mentions what the armour is, it talks about us not fighting against flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities. And you start reading that bit, and it's like, oh, gosh. And it spends quite a bit of time on how horrible part of this world is. And then it says, you know, put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And it's something we've got to do every day. You know, it can't be occasional. And I've noticed that more and more in my work, that if I'm not putting it on, I'm going invulnerable. And I'm not just putting it on for myself, I'm putting it on for my clients, because as I stand with them with the sword of the Spirit and I'm speaking a word of truth, and just to say to them, they're loved, they're precious. I'm not saying that because I think that. I'm saying that because we have a Lord, we have Jesus, who said, this is, you are loved, you are precious, you are valuable. And nobody else maybe has told them that in many, many years. And our befrienders are telling them that. And your prayers are helping those seeds fix into their souls. So I just want to thank you for everything you do, and to be honest, it needs to grow. We need more. So, and I know that there'll be many other areas in the church which will be saying the same. So I just pray that God will lead you in what you are going to join in with. But thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Denise. And it's so great to have you sharing here and to see how God's using you. And this lady is amazing. You know, her compassion and her evangelistic gift is just perfect for this role, and we are so grateful to have you. However weak you feel, that's a great place to be from, isn't it? So pray for her. If you want to find out more about CAP, do talk to Denise afterwards and find out how you can help. But I think the beauty of CAP is, I think it so illustrates what we are seeking to do. Our strapline of partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities, partnering with God, this is God's work. It's only God that can transform these lives. But it's partnering in the flourishing of our communities, and that flourishing is about holistic flourishing. It's about helping people physically, emotionally, and spiritually all in one. And I think that's what we are here for, and that's what CAP does so well. So thank you, Denise, for sharing that. A few other things, you know, the community pantry and work at the Octagon still goes great guns. There's Margaret helping out there at some point in the last year. One of the changes this year is we, in last December, had our last official, for now at least, holiday at home gathering. Holiday at home has been going for 14 years, patience. 2007. And last year at Christmas, Patience and Angela and Rosemary after 14 years of dedicated service, and they've done amazing jobs, and you can just see by the attention to detail in those pictures, that sums up. They stepped down in leadership, and at the moment no one else has stepped up to carry on doing exactly the same thing. And we're sensing that it may be that God's leading us into a new season of doing ministry to seniors differently. So we want to celebrate and say thank you to Patience particularly. We thanked her back in December, but we want to say thank you again to Patience and all those who helped out Hold It Home over the years. And can I encourage you to pray about what is this God leading us into in this next season? And I'm just beginning to wonder whether Megan's Kitchen is part of that. You know, I think an opportunity of Megan's Kitchen here to serve meals, maybe it might move to something like a monthly lunch, whatever. You know, that could be really exciting. So will you pray into that? And if you feel stirred to support seniors ministry, you don't have to come with exactly the same gifts and skills as those who've done it before. God's leading us potentially into a new thing. So if you feel a sense of calling, do chat to us. It's been a time of continued connecting with each other. Again, you know, this is what the men's breakfast looks like once a month in Wetherspoons, and I'm glad the women are finally caught up and having a monthly breakfast too. But we've had some really special times, men's breakfast, some really great speakers. Paul just shared some of his deepest heart and deepest stories so brilliantly last month. And it's a great place to connect, and people are beginning to bring their friends and come along to that. So really exciting developments. And again, St. Andrew's and All Saints combining together, doing things jointly, which are better than what we can do on our own. Some of what you won't see, you know, this is what the church looks like every so often when it's at its fullest. This is the Christmas production of one of our schools. I can't remember which, but you can see some shepherds in tea towels at the back. You know, we have, this place has been used for the Witch and the Wells, you know, 200 children and their parents coming into services three or four times a year. Really significant stuff. We've just done Experience Easter with over 300 children, including the parish. You know, our ministry to our schools is thriving. And we've just appointed Ruth Wharton to be an assistant to Helen Attree. And Ruth is going to have particular input on the school's ministry, to develop our school's ministry. She's already met with the heads and had some really interesting discussions about where they could, that could go. We're looking to do a sort of Experience Easter type thing, but with the Lord's Prayer later on this term, and have a children's and families conference as well in June, which, you know, having Ruth as part of the team is enabling us to do. So I want to encourage you to say we are doing significant work, as I shared a couple of Sundays ago as well, with children and schools and families up here as well as down at St. Andrew's. And sometimes that involves really fun things too. This was the light party at All Saints. That's one of our parents, Ed, who was eating donuts off a line along with other kids. So actually this, I want to just share with you that, you know, children and family stuff, Messy Church is really buzzing these days, isn't it, Margaret? Where's Margaret? We're really back to sort of pre-COVID numbers, which is really exciting. And one or two families have made the step from Messy Church to Early Birds on a Sunday morning too. So God is doing significant things. And there have been some other many memorable moments, but I want to say at last year, 2022, I think my most memorable moment up at All Saints was this one. What's this? It was Maundy Thursday last year, where my men's group did a bit of drama, and we had we did something similar this year, but not quite as good as last year. And, you know, we had a really profound time of praying in the garden with Jesus and sitting around the fire and washing each other's feet and just having real moments of real encounter and connection with God. And, you know, that is what it's all about. It's about us connecting with God, as I'll be sharing later, and then actually going out and sharing that love and that encounter with the world. So thank you. They're just a few highlights, but do read the full annual review to see all that's been going. But I just wanted to celebrate a few things, and I could have said so much more and so many things I've missed out on, but they're just a few thoughts. Peter, back to you.
I think it seems an appropriate time for a very short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that has happened in the past year. We thank you for Denise stepping up to mastermind the future of CAP, and we pray that your spirit would be upon her and all the befrienders and prayers as that work moves forward. We thank you, God, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do in the days ahead. Amen. And so we come to a Bible reading, and Patience is going to come and read us a little bit from Ephesians.
Yes, indeed. This morning's reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, starting at verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, it's a bit weird today, doing APCM and knowing that tomorrow I'll be off for 3 months on sabbatical. And I've just been trying to work out what I wanted to share with you, both as a message as I'm about to go off on sabbatical, but also as an APCM message. And there was a particular verse that came to mind, which is John 16:16, which I thought might be appropriate words of Jesus to preach on. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little time you will see me. But I thought, no, that's not the right one for today. And it was really at the New Wine Leaders Conference in Harrogate last month that, just in the middle of one of the sessions, I often get this when I go to Harrogate, you know, I'm in the middle of one of the sessions, I think, God's just given me a talk in about 3 minutes, just there. Last year, God gave me the Easter Day sermon, and this year, you know, just I was sitting in one of the sessions on one of the mornings, and I just knew what God wanted me to share with you. And it is, you know, really this passage from Ephesians. And I felt at that time at the New Wine Conference, God said this to me. I felt him say, this time of April to July is not just a time for you to sabbatical, but it's a time for the church to sabbatical as well. And I've been pondering that and working out, what does that mean for the church to sabbatical when the vicar's not here and actually there's more work to do? Well, I think we prayed about it, you know, when I came back at the Friday prayers at St. Andrew's. And I think, you know, some of it is about God wanting this to be a time when you rest as well as me, where you recharge as well as me, where you celebrate all that God has been doing as well as me, that you enjoy each other's company and just enjoy being together as family. And I really want to encourage you to do that, as I will be doing that in the next 3 months. This isn't a time for just going and doing lots of business. It's a time for relaxing, recharging, resting, celebrating. So please do that while I am away. And I think Paul's prayer here to the Ephesians actually just, I think, gives us some really good hints as to what you can pray for me and what I can pray for you. Let's just have a look at these amazing words. You know, it starts, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." I think it's really significant that it starts with bowing our knees before the Father. It reminds me of that verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I think has been really profound for us this term. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face." You know, it starts with us bowing our knees before God, humbling ourselves and seeking God's face, seeking our Father, and just saying, "This is all about you, God. It's all about our relationship with you." Goes on, "According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit." You know, that's what I will be praying for you, and it's what I hope you'll be praying for me. That we'll all be strengthened with power through his Spirit, because we acknowledge that actually the power to do any of this stuff we've just been talking about doesn't come from us. It comes from God. And so we need to cry out more than anything that God would strengthen us with his power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. With that power, God can do far more than we could ever hope or imagine. Goes on, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." You know, I pray for you that Christ would dwell deeply in your hearts in these next 3 months. That actually your faith would be deepened even further, solidified even further. You know, God's calling us to continue to dig deeper with him. That he would dwell deeply in the depths of our being, and that everything we do comes from that. And then I'm going to read this in a slightly different version because it's the one I know and makes, I think, reads better for me. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love which surpasses all knowledge. You know, this is a time for getting even more rooted in the love of God. That's what I hope I will come back, more rooted and more grasping the height and depth and width and breadth of the love of God. Because if we know that, then everything else will flow from that. And it's a knowing not just in our heads, but it's a knowing deep in our hearts too. That's what I pray for you. That's what I want you to pray for me. But then verse 20 is the verse which, you know, God really spoke to me about at the New Wine Conference. "To know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." You know, the picture that God gave me at the conference is that actually we're all a bit like this. We're a jug which is perhaps 2 or 3 centimetres full of water. And that we're busy serving and pouring it out and looking after people. But actually we're just struggling to just keep full. And we then go back to God and we pour out a little bit more and we pour out a little bit more. And then we go back to God and we have a little bit more to pour out and a little bit more to pour out. And so we're just constantly running a few centimetres full of the fullness of God. And the picture God gave me was, he says, this is a time for me to do this. to fill you right up to the top. To not to feel you have to give out. I'm not going to be giving out very much at all in the next 3 months. But just to be filled to the full measure of God. And the amazing thing is that even when one jug runs out, God doesn't run out. And the thing is that actually what happens is when we are so full to the fullness of the measure of God, and when we're just sitting there constantly under and receiving his love, what happens is that we just overflow automatically, don't we? That actually if someone bumps into us, then actually we just overspill with the goodness of God, with the love of God. You know, this is the place that God wants us to be serving from. Not this place. And so what I want to encourage you to do in the next 3 months, and what I'm going to be doing, is just sit under the full pouring of God's love and be filled right to the brim, so that actually when I come back, we're all overflowing with God's love. And actually from that place, God then sends us out again to serve. What does this look like? How do we do it? Well, I think Frank said it all. Keep the faith. Keep on doing what we know is right, what God's been calling us to. I think God's been doing something significant in the last few weeks about getting us into Scripture and meditating on his word. Keep on connecting with God in Scripture. Keep on praying together. We've had some great times with Zoom prayers. I'd love to see some more saints people joining us on more on the Zoom prayers too. Keep on praying together. Keep on listening and seeking God. Keep on worshipping together. Keep on meeting together. Keep on loving each other. Keep on just connecting up and showing God's love to each other. You know, that's the thing that people constantly come into our churches and tell me. It's an amazing community. People care for each other. People love each other. Keep on doing that, because you are demonstrating God's love by doing that. Keep on being open to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's leading. Keep on letting God do it. You know, my big lesson and the big verse I've had for this last year has been Exodus 14:14, which God gave me 18 months ago when I last went to St. Bino's, and I'll be there again in a few weeks' time. Which is that verse saying, the Lord will fight for you, you just have to be still. And there have been many times over the last year where I've wanted to make things happen. And I've wanted to go and say things and do things. And I felt God say, Exodus 14:14, leave it to me. You just pray, the Lord will fight for you, you just have to be still. And I think we've really seen how God has done that. God has opened up a way for us in his time, in his way. Let's keep pressing on and doing that. And of course it finishes, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. You know, God, I have sensed that God's going to do in this next couple of years immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Lots of prophetic sort of words that have been given to me says we're on the brink of something, God really breaking in a new way. And I really believe that. So let's have high expectation that God's about to do something significant. Not to put pressure on us, but to encourage us to pray even more and let God do it. And actually, ultimately, it's all, as it says there, about giving him glory. This is what this is about. It's about giving the glory to God. It's not about our own stuff. It's about God, this is your work. This is your kingdom. This is your church. This is your community. And we give him glory. So rest in the next 3 months. Recharge. Celebrate. Keep on doing all those things. And I look forward to us all coming back topped up to the brim, ready to go again for whatever God has in store in the summer and in the autumn.
Let us pray. Just a prayer of worship to start. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendour, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth and in our churches comes from you. Lord, thank you for the way you've been at work. We give you thanks, Lord, for what has happened this last year. We give you thanks for each other as well, for the family of Christ, for the worshippers. We give you thanks for all the unseen stuff that goes on, hours and hours of unseen preparation, worship, prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the undergirding of all that happens there. And we pray especially for our leaders, that they may be, as that prayer said, rooted and grounded in the love of God. We pray for the PCC members, for those who are going to be elected to the PCC, for the leaders. Lord, give us that unity, that empowering from you, that we may be strong to grasp with all God's people what's the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of Christ, and that we may have a unity between us and a listening to each other and a wholeness. Lead us, Lord, we pray. Pray for Dave as he goes, that he may have rest and recharge and celebrate, that you will meet him. We commit to you the different bits of Dave's sabbatical, just that he may be deeply overflowing with your love and power, O God. Pray for his family, Alice and Josh and Eleanor, as they adjust to a different way of life, mainly without Dave, with Dave and without Dave. See him when and then you don't. But so, Lord, help them in their own journey, we pray. And actually, in these intercessions, we widen our focus just to bring you, Lord, the muddle of the doctor's strike, the nurse's strike. We bring you those on strike, the union leaders, the negotiators, the government. I think we'll have a moment of silence just to put the Lord in the centre of that as we think about it. Lord, come and be at work in the whole of that situation, we pray. And finally, we have a silence when we bring to the Lord our own prayers, the needs of our heart. We're just going to have a short space to bring those. And then we join together in the chaste team prayer. In the name of Jesus, we bless St. Andrew's, All Saints and St. Mary's and all the other churches of our town, that we will encounter the transforming of presence of God more deeply. In the name of Jesus, we bless our young people, that they will grow and be filled to overflowing with your Spirit and shine for you in their schools, with their friends and their families. In the name of Jesus, we bless our communities, that they will flourish with your life and values, and that lives will be transformed and people's hearts softened to receive the love of God. Pour out your Spirit on all of us and teach us what it means to walk with you. Amen.
We've just prayed to God to pour out his Spirit on each one of us. So our final hymn reinforces that. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew. Lord, you have given us so many things. We offer you these tokens and we offer you our lives. We ask that we may be filled with your Spirit in this season ahead. And we ask that all these monies that are paid through the collection plate or direct into the account may be used to your glory to build your kingdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. And so, as we move into the next part of this morning's worship, let's bless one another with the words of the grace as we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. I think I've done my bit. And I now hand over to the rector and others.
I'm hoping that this won't take too long and that this will be an encouraging, not a boring meeting, as I always say, because there's so much to be encouraged about. We do start off with the meeting of the parishioners, which is for everyone on the electoral roll or who are residents in the parish of All Saints. Others may be present as observers. And the job of the meeting of the parishioners, this is the shortest meeting I ever do, is simply to appoint the church wardens. Apologies for absence will take us Sarah's got them. I hope if you've got, no, don't have any. If anyone knows any apologies, or if anyone's watching online and wants to send any official apologies to Sarah, although I suppose if you're watching online, you technically, you're sort of present as well anyway, aren't you? If you want to mark your presence online, then send Sarah them. If you want to mark it as an apology that you're not here in person, then send Sarah them. Sarah will do that. And so we're going to elect the church wardens for this coming year. But first of all, I just want to say we do have one church warden who is gracefully stepping down after her three-year cycle. Patience, would you like to come up, first of all, please? Patience has done an amazing 3 years. It has been, I can't believe it's 3 years have gone so quickly. But we are so grateful, Patience, for your wisdom, for your ability to just get things done. You know, you've been working in so many different areas. You've been working as part of the transformation team with some of the St. Andrew's folk. You've particularly been working on Megan's Kitchen with Paul. And actually, both of those things you're going to carry on with, aren't you? And supporting Janet with all the church warden stuff. And, you know, the fact that actually you rarely get in touch with me shows that you just get on with it between you and Jeff and Janet, and have been amazing. And on top of that, you've been running Holiday at Home and doing a whole load of other stuff and all the other stuff that you do outside of church as well. We are so grateful, and I'm really delighted that Patience is going to remain a member of the PCC and still help with certain things around church too, but we're letting her off the official church warden duties and responsibilities. She's running before I run, aren't you? So, Patience, thank you so much for all that you have done.
Thank you.
And bless you,
thank you
for all your ministry. Can we just say thank you?
Could I say a little word? I just want to say that when Dave first approached me to see if I would take on this role, and I went away and thought about it and prayed about it, the only reason I said yes was because we have such a wonderful community in the Lord. And I knew that if I took this on, I would have so much support that I never needed to worry about it. And this has been the case. So can I say thank you all so much. You're fantastic chums. And I've loved doing it. It has been very busy. We've had so much going on, but I have taken so much thanks and enjoyment from it. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Patience, so much. So, drum roll, is who's going to be the replacement? I'm really delighted to say we have two nominations. Janet Finch is willing to stand again, proposed by Patience Broad. She's desperate. Seconded by Joanne Spencer. And I'm delighted to say that Sarah Yeadon has willing and didn't even need her arm twisted. She's really delighted to stand as church warden, proposed by Patience Broad and seconded by Janet Finch. And, you know, with Sarah knowing the church so well from being church administrator, knowing how things work, knowing how I work, I'm really delighted, and I think that is so exciting for us as a church. So as we've only got two nominations, let's show our approval. You are both officially voted in, and now you are officially church warden, Sarah, which is great. So let me pray. Lord, we thank you for Janet and Patience and Sarah. Janet and Sarah, I need to start talking. Janet and Sarah, and their willingness to stand this coming year. And we pray your blessing on them. We pray for a spirit of wisdom and real spiritual depth and strength and an ability to lead in your spirit in this role. And we thank you for them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here ends the meeting of parishioners, and we now move on to the official annual parochial church meeting. For those on the electoral roll, others may be present as observers. Apologies for absence we'll take as the same as the last one. Minutes of the APCM held on the 27th of March, which you should have copies of. Can I just have a show of hands if anyone remembers what happened at that meeting? I think I was on Zoom, wasn't I? Because I think I had COVID. Jackie and Peter ran it because I was at home with COVID. Can we approve the minutes? Anyone, any queries? Can we approve the minutes? Show of hands. I'll take that as a yes. I don't think there are any matters arising, but I think it is interesting to read back and see what we were talking about a year ago. You know, a year ago we were just about to launch the giving campaign for new staff, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, where some of that's happened and some of that hasn't happened. So much to be grateful for there. So we'll take those as read. And on the agenda, number four, Rector's report. Well, I've sort of done half of it, and I'm going to do the other half at the end, so we'll move on from that. Sarah's going to come and give the electoral roll report.
At the APCM last year, there were 53 people registered on the electoral roll. We have since lost two members and gained three. So as of the 1st of April, the new number on the roll is 54. And the updated roll can be seen at the back of church now and is open for new applicants who must be over 16 and be a regular worshipper with us. So please see me if you want to apply. I've got some forms at the back.
Just to save you going back and coming back up again, do you want to go straight on to safeguarding?
Yeah, good idea. Right, okay, the safeguarding report. The PCC has complied with its duty to have due regard to the House of Bishops' safeguarding policy and practice guidance. The parish is now mostly compliant with the Church of England requirements. All required documents and procedures are in place alongside good practice, and the final elements of the new safer recruitment guidance are in the process of being implemented. As always, we have a duty to be vigilant and to report any safeguarding concerns, issues which concern us. If you see anything that concerns you, please speak to Dave or Val Fain, who is our safeguarding officer, Liz Saunders in the office, or myself, because I'm going to be the church warden responsible for safeguarding. Thank you.
And thank you, Sarah, for all you do with that. And Val particularly is doing a lot as oversight of parish safeguarding officer. And, Jeff or other clergy up here are people to talk to as well in that. And just to say, we do have safeguarding issues that we do have to deal with. I was sitting with Val on Friday afternoon and updating her on two particular concerns at the moment that we are dealing with. So this isn't something that we just pay lip service to. This is really happening, and actually it makes a massive difference. And I know, with CAP as well, Denise is involved in safeguarding issues there. And again, just to reinforce, it's the responsibility of the whole church to just point out any concerns you may have. And if you're not sure, if in doubt, then please say something is the key thing, because actually Val and Sarah and Liz particularly can discern whether it needs to be taken further. But if we don't say anything, no one ever might know, and it might actually not make the difference that's needed with that. So thank you to all those who are involved in that. Paul is going to come and give the financial report.
The summary data is included in the annual review document. If you want the gory detail, there's a separate report. I hope you've all managed to pick one up. If you haven't, there are some at the back of the church. But the headlines, I think, are that at the start of the year, we were forecasting a deficit budget of £9,000. And we actually finished the year with an excess of income over expenditure of £15,000. So you might say, how on earth did I get that so badly wrong? But there's a significant change that the way that we fund our clergy changed during the year. It's now called ministry share rather than parish share. And the Chase team as a whole pays for Dave and was paying for Lynn. And we were proposing different staffing structures and things like that. And the diocese very kindly said, OK, we can see that you're in need of extra bodies. We'll reduce your ministry share to help you pay for them, which resulted in our contribution dropping from 43,000 to 25,000. Now, whether that continues, we don't know yet. I refer a lot to uncertainty in my report because I don't know how that's going to pan out. But for this year, at least, we know that's where we stand. We also had expected to appoint new people. We had expected to appoint an assistant minister. We had expected to appoint an operations manager. And we expected to appoint a new youth leader. The only person we managed to appoint was Liz, but what an appointment. So delighted to welcome Liz as our operations manager. So our expected contribution to staffing costs was reduced as well. And that's how the change came about. It's a combination of those two things. Not as many staffing costs as we thought we were going to be paying for, and a reduction in our ministry share. Again, going forward, we don't know what the staffing is going to look like entirely yet, but there'll be something different to where we are now, but quite what we don't know. So for this year, we've been cautious. We've predicted a deficit budget of about £1,500, and that's livable with. I mean, I don't like deficit budgets, but £1,500 livable with. And going on from 2024, we don't know, but we'll find out this year. So that's where we are. We had a very good year last year. I think it was probably a one-off, but it may not have been. But above all, thank the Lord for his provision. It's been great. So I don't know if anybody's got any questions on the Treasurer's report, either the summary data or the detail. All baffled by numbers. In which case, one last thing I'd like to say is a big thank you to Jackie, Jean and Patience, my team of ladies, without whom I could do nothing, because they're the ones who approve everything I do. So thank you for them, for their help and support.
And you're going to independent examiner.
Sorry, yes, the next item was the appointment of the independent examiner. The last few years it's been done by Paul Lithgow, who actually works at St Andrews. Paul does a cracking job. He makes my life very easy, and he's very responsive. So when I say I need it by next week, I get it by next week. So Paul's happy to continue, and I propose that we appoint Paul as independent examiner for this year.
So,
Paul proposing. Could we have a seconder for? Thank you, Patience is seconding for Paul Lithgow. All in favour? Thank you. And can we just have a show of hands of receiving the annual accounts? And a show of hands of saying thank you very much to Paul for all his work. Thank you. Great. I'll say a little bit more about the ministry share and staffing a little bit later. Receiving the annual reports. So I hope you've all received a paper copy of the annual reports. Please do read it. We take a good amount of care in producing these for a variety of reasons. One, actually, I think it's a great document to celebrate what we do. Two, it's a great document to give out to new people. So anyone who visits the church, and if you've got visitors here at All Saints, please do give this out to them. I gave it out to a baptism family that I met on Friday, and they were early birds this morning, and they're just about to do Alpha, which is amazing. So it's a great document to do that. So that's why we do it. But also, it's a great document to pray from. Can I suggest that you perhaps put this by your bedside or put this in your Bible and perhaps have a page that you look at every day and pray for whatever's on that page, and then the next day pray for the next things on that page. And it's a great way to pray for the ministries that are in the church. And thank you very much to Liz for putting this together and others who've written contributions. And one of the great encouragements I've got from the report this year is that I've written fewer reports than ever, which shows that other people are taking responsibility of stuff, which is great. So thank you for all those. Can we have a show of hands of receiving the annual review?
Thank you. Any questions on it? Anyone want to make any comments or questions? No? Great. Thank you. We've done safeguarding. Right, we're going to do the elections now. So every 3 years we elect, make new elections to the Deanery Synod. The Deanery Synod is basically the local area. Our deanery is Upton and Malvern. And we have two representatives from us who sit on the Deanery Synod and are aware of discussions that are happening there and contribute there. So I'm delighted again that Peter Buchanan and Angela Davison are willing to stand again. So Peter is proposed by June Ververs and seconded by Diana Hunt. Peter Buchanan proposed by Peter Yeadon and seconded by Janet Simmons. All in favour? Thank you very much, Peter and Angela, for standing there. Is Angela here? Yes, Angela. Are you still on Diocesan Synod as well? So Deanery Synod sends representative to Diocesan Synod. Diocesan Synod sends representative to General Synod. So Angela is also a representative on Diocesan Synod as well. So if you want to know what's happening in the diocese, I need to ask Angela because she gets to know before I do. PCC elections. We've got a few people, three people being reappointed. So Patience Broad is, as she's not on because of Church Warden. So Patience Broad is nominated, proposed by Carol Wilson, seconded by Peter Yeadon. We've got Paul Southern as well there. Andrew Green, proposed by Janet Finch and seconded by Andrew Crumpler for re-election. Andrew Crumpler, proposed by June Ververs and seconded by Andrew Green for re-election. Paul Southern, we thought we'd let him on again, proposed by Ken Beecroft and seconded by June for re-election as well. And I'm delighted that Kathleen Horwood is keen to stand as well and fill one of the gaps. Proposed by Janet Simmons and seconded by Margaret Buchanan. So welcome, Kathleen. And there's one more gap, which I am hoping that Karen Enright, some of you know, is fairly new to here, has been St Andrews, but is now really feeling that All Saints is her home. She is willing to stand as PCC, but at the moment is on the electoral roll of St Andrews, and we need to, now the electoral roll is open again, we need to transfer onto the electoral roll here. So I'm proposing that we co-opt her onto the PCC for 6 months, by which then she'll have been 6 months on the electoral roll up here and will be able to stand as an official PCC member. So she'll in effect be on PCC now, but not in an official capacity for 6 months. And I think she'll bring energy, and I'm really excited about her being on, new ideas, and she'll be a great addition to the PCC team. So that's filled all the different places that there are there. So can we, again, show approval for all those places, all those people? Thank you, all of you. Let me just pray. So, Lord, we thank you for all those who are willing to stand as PCC and Deanery Synod reps. And we pray for the PCC in this coming year that you'll continue to give them wisdom about the future, and that you'll continue to lead them, that they will look closely to you and wait on you, that we'll be led your way, not our own ways. In the name of Jesus, amen. And finally, I'm just going to give a little bit of an update on just looking forward now. We've looked back and now we're going to look forward. But actually, first of all, Paul's going to come and give a little update on Megan's Kitchen. He doesn't know what slides I've got here, so you can see in front of you.
I can't remember the last time I actually addressed the whole congregation about Megan's Kitchen, but I believe the last time we just got to the point where we had feedback from the diocese who were unhappy that the kitchen was accessible by children. If you can recall, what we proposed was a counter that projected sort of down the aisle, as it were, and then we were going to use the rolling cupboards to fill in the holes to stop children getting in there, and they weren't happy with that. So we went back to our architect, Anita, and she proposed a new design, which shows, which is one on the screen now. So you've got a permanent work surface which projects out from roughly where the font is now. So the font will move to down here. The work surface will be at an angle, so it'll look at some sort of a line to the table with the coffee on at the moment. And then there'll be a gap where the rolling cupboard is on the right-hand side here, right as I'm looking at it. And there will be two lockable gates there to stop children accessing the kitchen. The kitchen will be large enough to accommodate the two rolling cupboards if we need to stash them away when we've got a church full for things like school services. But the other benefit of having this slightly larger or longer work surface is that we won't need the wall cupboards, so we won't have anything going above worktop height. We had work cupboards on the wall on the right-hand side, on the north side of the church. We won't need those now. But otherwise, it's essentially the same. It's got the same facilities, fridge, cooker, hob, dishwasher, two sinks, lots of storage cupboards. So we're now at the stage where we've got all the plans to submit to the diocese for the faculty. Patience and I have just drafted a draft risk assessment, because that was the thing that the diocese seemed to be more concerned about rather than aesthetics and practicalities. It was the risk was the big thing they were concerned about. And we'll be submitting that this week, and then hopefully we'll get a quick response from the diocese, and then we can start getting building quotes and kitchen quotes and things like that. And we're hoping that it might be done by the end of the year. I think that's probably the most realistic timescale, may go a bit beyond, because the last thing we want is to rip the church up just before Christmas. But we'll see. Do you want to slip onto that? So that's what it will look like, hopefully. That's the artist's impression. And the chap at the back standing behind the desk is Andy. That's where the sound desk will move to. So all the sort of the sound desk where it's currently located will move to the back where the little trolley with the books on it is on at the moment. And Andy has very kindly done all the cabling necessary to shift the sound desk to that point now. So what we've got to do is hide it away under the floor somehow, or take it over the door. Anybody got any questions about Megan's kitchen? Yes, Carol. Yep. Yes, the sound desk will still be fixed. The rolling covers will still be there, but they can be moved around, obviously. But it will mean that as you come in through the door, there won't be a barrier immediately on your right-hand side anymore. So it should open up the church more. Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's a great design in the end. I'm really grateful. There's been a small team who've been working on that and going through lots of different variations, but I think what we've come up with is really good, and wouldn't it be amazing if we have it in by Christmas? But we'll see. Okay, so just a last few things from me, just looking forward. First of all, I want to say more than anything, just thank you. Yes, okay, let's... I didn't realise, I forgot who they were, I must admit. Tell me who they are. And we're Sarah, Andrew, Crumpler, Paul Southern, are you a deputy warden in effect? These aren't official positions, so we don't officially need to vote them in, but it's good to acknowledge who they are. So Andrew Crumpler, Paul Southern, and whoever the wardens say is a deputy warden are going to be the deputy wardens for the coming year. So I want to start by saying thank you so much to all of you, as I've said already. I've been, as I've prepared for sabbatical, there's been a slight variation of another verse which has been going around in my head, which is where Jesus says to his disciples, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And my version of that, as I've been thinking about you guys and thinking about actually leaving you guys for 3 months, is I don't call you congregation members, but I call you friends. And I really mean that. And I'm going to miss you guys when I go. But just want to say thank you. You know, it's you guys that keep me here. And keep me here despite some of the other struggles I might have. Shall we leave it at that, as it's been recorded? But I'm here because we have two amazing congregations of people who are servant-hearted, who are not in it for their own egos, who are
willing to work together, who are willing to be open to God and who do amazing stuff. And I just sit back and watch you do it and try and encourage you. And that's my role, is to encourage you guys to do what God's called you to do. So thank you for all that you do, and all of you serve in different ways. And thank you for that there. Key verse for the last year, another key verse, you know, we had was this one, 2 Chronicles 20:12. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And I'd like to say a year on, we know a little bit more about what to do than we did this time last year. But there's still quite a few areas where we don't know what to do, and our eyes are hopefully still on God. And if I'm honest, the last year has been really challenging. There's been a lot of, some of you know, it's been a quite hard year for me, and living with the uncertainty of what does staffing look like, what does the team look like, not being able to recruit as we thought we might this time last year, some roles, has been tough. But, you know, looking back now, I think God's been in this, and sometimes we just have to wait for God to show us slightly different ways of doing things and slightly different timing. And I just pray that as we go into this next year, you know, this is our thing as well, that we keep our eyes on Jesus and he will continue to reveal it. And I want to go back even further. I want to go back to October 2020 when we finally had our APCM, first APCM in the pandemic. And you might remember I did, this is my video APCM video. Some of you were here, and I did it from outside the Kinetic site, which at that time looked like that, where there was just piles of rubble. They just demolished the previous Kinetic buildings, but hadn't started building yet. But the piles of rubble, I talked about how actually God was going to build something new from the piles of rubble of the old, and felt that was a real metaphor of what God was doing with us. Well, it's really funny that, you know, it's 3 years on, and I think the Kinetic site is still a real metaphor of what God's doing with us. And I think, you know, what's happening there is a real parallel, because these are some pictures I took last week. So some of the Kinetic site there is, you know, you still can't see what it's going to be. You know, it's still not built on. It's still not clear as to what it's going to look like. And, you know, I think us as a church, there are still parts of our church, you know, youth ministry going forward, I don't know what that's going to look like. Staffing roles, I don't know what that's going to look like going forward. I've got some hints, but I don't know what that's going to look like. So there's still parts of our, you know, our church life where we, you know, it's a bit of a blank canvas still. And I think that's exciting. You know, what does our seniors ministry look like? Is All Saints to be part of it? You know, actually, the old has been taken down, but on the foundations of the old, God is going to build something new, and that's exciting. There are other bits of the parish where actually, you know, significant work is in progress, and, you know, structures are beginning to be built. So, you know, Megan's Kitchen, we're beginning to see what that looks like, and hopefully soon it will be beginning to be built, and that's really encouraging, you know, really encouraging to see that. I think one of our challenges as All Saints, and we started talking about this at the PCC meeting last, is to say, what's God's vision for the future of mission at All Saints? And I think that's a really important question for the PCC and this congregation, this church, to grapple with over this next year. You know, and I think that's going to be different from the past. You know, let's not just carry on doing what we've always done, because that's what we do at All Saints. Janet has produced a paper that she talked through with PCC, and I think it was really significant and really prophetic. God's calling us perhaps into a new mission. And as we build Megan's Kitchen, what does that new mission look like? And I don't know the answers to that yet, but I think it's exciting, and I want you to pray about what new mission opportunities that open up. I talked with the PCCs about, you know, these different new congregations we've had at St. Andrews. Early Birds is clearly getting baptism families. We had that one this morning. A great place to come in there, beginning to get messy church families, toddler families coming in. You know, that's where what's coming in there. The midweek service at St. Andrews is beginning to get bereavement cafe folk. We've got 5 bereavement cafe folk that come regularly to the midweek service now, of a congregation of 40. Evening service, you know, is more sort of, you know, we get to see some of the older youth come there now, which is great. And I guess my question is, who is God wanting to bring to this congregation here? And therefore, what's the mission that we need to do, which is going to be the stepping stone to coming into here? And I think that's a really important question. And I think we see some of the foundations, but actually it's not clear yet. And I encourage you to pray for that. And then there's some other places where actually it's, you know, it's nearly finished and we can see what it's going to look like. And, you know, there's a few temporary bits, but actually it's looking not far off. And I think, you know, I just, as I was thinking about this, thinking appointing Ruth Wharton in the last few weeks, some really exciting stuff is opening up with the schools. Let me tell you one thing. CPAS, Cypher, I'm here because of the Cypher camps I went to as a teenager. They are doing something now called School Ventures, where they basically take some children from schools to do a mini 2 or 3 day Cypher CPAS camp. And we had a discussion with Ruth and Helen and me with a lady who organises these a couple of weeks ago and said, we've got 3 church schools, we've got links with other schools. Wouldn't it be amazing if next year we could take 10 pupils from each of the schools? And you do it in a local outdoor centre, so we would potentially do it in Malvern Outdoor Centre, and they're going to ring them up and see if that works, for 3 days, either in school time or over a weekend. People from church run it, but it's all set up for you and you're trained to do it, and you get representatives of the school to come in and do it with you. I'm seeing Margaret's eyes. Margaret, you will be coming and being one of the volunteers on that with you. I think this is so exciting. And literally, I found out, and Peter, you can come too. And I found out about this the day after Ruth started. And, you know, that is really exciting stuff of doing a next step thing with our schools that we could do, potentially pilot it with our schools next year. And I've already talked to the deanery as to whether we could do this deanery-wide the following year, potentially. That's the sort of thing that's beginning to open up because we're now employing Ruth and... Actually, we're not paying Ruth. She's only doing 12 hours. It's not costing us very much, but what the output that we're going to get from that is huge. So that's the excitement of what God, I think, is building. And then there's other areas of the kinetic site which are finished and are now people in residence. You know, we've had our first couple at St Andrews from those houses who are coming to our church now. And they're completely finished there. And I looked at this and I thought, what does this represent in All Saints? And I think this is the leadership team at All Saints, which is working really well now. I think it's the life groups at All Saints, which if you remember, you know, 3-4 years ago, you know, the two really strong life groups that we've got here didn't exist at All Saints. Now they're working brilliantly and I'm really grateful and they're great places of community. So working really well there. So I think the kinetic site is continuing to mirror our journey. And just to say, the kinetic site is still going to be built for another 3 years, I'm told. So, you know, God's still got a lot of work to do here yet, I think. Where are we? A year ago, I put this diagram out, which is sort of what we thought the leadership structures would look like and what we were working towards. And it was a nice, neat diagram, which all fitted together well. And we had different people there. And some of it's happened and some of it hasn't happened. Liz is here and it's great. And Liz is taking over certain key areas. But there are certain areas which we haven't got people heading up at the moment, particularly the outreach and the associate minister. We have set up some congregational leadership teams for every congregation across our two churches. We set up a prayer strategic group, which Susan Crumpler and Keith, are you on that? No. He's on the mission one, isn't he? And the world mission one. And that's working really well. So, you know, we're getting there, but, you know, God's taking us down slightly different diversions with that. I am hoping that we will advertise for a new team vicar associate minister at the end of July or beginning of September. So yesterday I sent the job spec that we had done for last year to the transformation team and I'm asking them to work on that while I'm away. And I'm hoping that a joint PCC in July, we can approve that when we know the situation with St Mary's. And that we can get an advert out fairly quickly. And I'm hoping that we might even be able to have someone in place before Christmas. That, in effect, will be the team vicar, which will be the new Lynn
But actually, instead of being the vicar of St Mary's, in effect, as Lynn was, this will be another clergy who will be across all three churches. And so it'll be me and the team vicar who will work across all three churches. And according to who we appoint, we'll work out what that looks like. But this is not simply going to be a new vicar of St Mary's. This will be, they may have oversight of St Mary's and they may have oversight of All Saints. It depends how we redistribute it. And we need to work out with the right person there. So I'm hoping that we can get that appointment out. The money is there for it. And, you know, in effect, we're overpaying our parish share at the moment. We're paying still, in effect, for Lynn. So actually, it won't actually be that much more than we're paying already to have that role. And hopefully we'll be able to say more in July about that.
But I'm really excited about possibilities. And I also think in July we need to relook at what's happening about youth and what God's leading us to. I think partly that depends on diocesan strategy and whether the diocese are keen to be part of that or not. But we've got a temporary thing at the moment with Liz overseeing that, and that's enabled us to have a youth weekend away a couple of weeks ago, for example, which is great. But we need to think again as to what that more permanent thing looks like. So there's some of the things that are planned. And just as I finish, an update on St Mary's. So I met with the St Mary's PCC, or half of them, a couple of weeks ago, and had a really positive meeting. And the bottom line is they've been doing a lot of consulting in their congregation in the last few weeks, and they are unanimously wanting to explore with us and with us alone about the future. I think, as someone said, our visions are aligning. I heard their vision, and it's very much in line with our vision. Helen went to preach there on Mothering Sunday, didn't you, Helen, and was received really warmly. I'm seeing some of them this afternoon, and I just think it's exciting what's opening up there. I'm hoping that by the time I come back in mid-July, we will be able to formally say we are going to be team again and work out what that team looks like. It'll be different to what the teams looked like in the last 7 years, and they know that. But I think it's really exciting. Helen Attree is hopefully going to make contact with them soon and talk about children and families ministry, which is what they're really keen to look at and how they can serve their communities with that. And I think God has gone before us and opened all that up in a remarkably smooth, miraculous way. I never thought we'd be at this point, at this moment. And it's as if we're starting again, and it's really exciting. So thank you for all your prayers, and watch this space, and we'll fill you in on that. And so finally, I just want to end with this again. You know, let's step into this coming year with confidence and with expectation that God is going to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, and that we are bringing glory to God. That's what it's about. It's being partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities, partnering with God in seeing his kingdom come more and more in this place. And I'm just really pleased to be part of that with you. Jeff's going to come and, I'm told, say a couple of things, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to have coffee.
So, Dave, as we will not see you for a little while, 3 months rather than 3 days before you rise again, as it were, we want to give to you, Dave, a gift. For you and for your family, with our prayers and blessings for a great sabbatical to rest and reinvigorate you in so many ways. And we're so grateful to you for all you have done for All Saints and for indeed the whole parish and your exciting vision for the future. We thank you. So from the Church Council and from individuals in this congregation, Dave, we wish you every blessing for your sabbatical, and we would like to lay hands on you to launch you into your sabbatical.
I'm always open for that.
So perhaps if we could ask you to stand down here on the carpet, and some of the church leaders and others who wish to come now and pray for Dave as he leaves for his sabbatical. do come forward.
And one last thing to say, if I may.
If you didn't realise that we were giving a gift to Dave and you want to contribute, we'll get it to him. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your generosity. I sort of have booked quite a lot in the last few weeks in faith that God would provide, and I think he will, because he always does. Just to say what's happening with me on sabbatical. So I start tomorrow. I'm going to have a week at home redecorating Eleanor's bedroom and getting a whole load of jobs and going to see my mother. I'm off to Exeter to Sheldon Retreat for a retreat on Sunday for a week's retreat, which is the retreat place for burnt out clergy. And I'm hopefully going to catch up a game of golf with Peter while I'm down there. I'm then back for about 10 days, and then I'm heading off to St Bino's in Wales for another mini-retreat, and then around Scotland and the Outer Hebrides in Helen Attree's camper van on my own for 2.5 weeks. Back for a couple of days, heading off on a little trip with Josh for a week and a half term, and then I'm back for 6 weeks. Alice is then going to go away for a week. If you see me around, you don't have to avoid me. You can say hello, but you can't talk about church. But please do say hello, because it would be nice to see you. Anyway, let's stand and sing our final song. We're going to finish with, what's it called? We Seek Your Kingdom, Malvern style. So let's stand and sing.
May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with us and empower us to partner with God in the flourishing of our communities as we have been called to be. And just may you know God's blessing, may you know God's filling with his love to overflowing. May you know his peace now and always. Amen.